to John's Gospel, please, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 22 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. Then said they unto John the Baptist, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 35, Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. These words were spoken to a people to whom John had been warning and so very faithfully seeking to stir them up. And he told them so often, even as you have heard tonight, to flee from the wrath that is coming. And he preached the eternal fire to these people, a message that startled them, because as they read their Bibles, the people to whom John is preaching, whenever they read about eternal fire, back in the Old Testament, they were reading about a place like Sodom. And you know what that means. And they could well recognize that that was righteous. That's what they deserve. They would also read of another place in the book of Isaiah called Tyre. And it was burned to the ground. And they could understand that. Because Tyre would not accept the word of God. They had no time for the prophets. But dear John the Baptist, when he was preaching to these people, he was trying to get them to see the same fire that destroyed Sodomites, and the same fire that destroyed the unbelievers against God, is the same fire that awaits you who study the Bible and yet refuse the Christ of the Bible. You who know the scriptures, and some of those dear men had scriptures written around the cuffs of their coats, and they also had them in a little box put on their head, like, you know, the miners like. They had the scriptures in there. And he was seeking to get their heart to understand that God is looking from heaven, and he's not looking at what men are professing they know. He's looking to see what they've done with Christ. And my friend, that's the great secret of the gospel here in this land in which we're living now. 1900 years after dear John the Baptist preached, the same message is relevant to men who are found in this little room tonight. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Can I say then to you tonight, is there anyone in this audience who has discovered from the teaching of God, even in the meeting tonight, or perhaps at home while you were reading a little gospel pamphlet? It may just be that one of the texts on the hall, of the wall of this hall here, has come into your mind, and you can't get rid of it. And you realize,
I'm going to hellfire. And oh God, I don't want to go there. How can I get saved? My friend, to people that have found out that the fire awaits them, it's to them that John spoke these words. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. I trust tonight that will be a message for you. I trust there are souls who came to this meeting tonight, and the burden of your heart is, oh God, help me to get salvation before it's too late. Look to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes away the sin of the world. Let me tell you, friend, the bearing away of the sin of the world is the answer to who goes to hell or who goes to heaven. If you could get to see that at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus, as this Lamb of God's providing, that he dealt with the great sin question and satisfied every claim of heaven, satisfied the heart of God in order that salvation might be pronounced to you and to me, if it could only get to see, the sin question is settled, and if you fain would flee from the wrath that's coming, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a shelter in the time of storm. But these words are spoken as well. Just before I note the verse with you, I want you to notice that these words were spoken to men who had been brought to repentance, as you've been hearing. Ah, dear John the Baptist, when he preached to the people, he preached about sin, and he named it. He stood once before a king, and he looked that king straight in the eye, and the king had been immoral, and he named his sin right to him. My friend, tonight, I cannot name your sin. I don't know them, and I don't want to know them, but I'd like to tell you. God names them, and he puts his finger right on them. And I hope tonight that God has troubled your conscience about your sin. It isn't a question of how many. One sin is an insult to heaven, friend. One sin on our part, one sin falling short of the divine standard is an insult to heaven. God graciously has given you and given me life. He's given us a sound mind. How amazing, what wondrous mercy. And the purpose of it is that you might get to know his Son, the Lord God of heaven, so misunderstood in our world. But dear John, as he preached to those people, even the soldiers, and mind you, they were rascals, they were Roman soldiers, and they had no love for the people whom they were ruling over. They were brutal in many ways, but the word stopped them, and their sin was brought to their conscience. And those men said, what shall we do? Here's the answer. Sinners that have found themselves guilty before God, conscious of their uncleanness before an holy God, whose heaven they would like to enter, and whose awful punishment they would long to escape. What's the answer to them, friend? Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. He's the answer to sin-stricken consciences. He's the answer to those who are in need of a shelter from wrath that is coming. Ah, yes, but the reason I read to you in verse 36 is to note with you that the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God, is the answer to seeking souls. There were those that were listening to John, and they were seeking the Lord Jesus. They wanted to know who he was. They wanted to hear more about him. Ah, said John to those same dear men, behold the Lamb of God. And they left John and followed the Lord Jesus. My, I hope that will be the response of hearts in this meeting. Friend, that's your opportunity tonight. Young man and young lady, in your sins, this is a golden opportunity from heaven. That's no exaggeration. For could you claim all the gold in the world after our Lord Jesus closes the door? It would not buy you 5 seconds to turn to the Lord Jesus. It's golden tonight. Of more value than all the world with its treasures and its goals and all the might of its science and all the might of the medicines and every fashion of religious theology.
could never, never purchase you eternal life, but you could get it tonight. It's in the Lord Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. What I want to note with you tonight is how John the Baptist is bringing from the people's memory three Old Testament pictures that they were well acquainted with. He's preaching to a people, and they knew the Bible. And they had a knowledge of what they were being taught every Sabbath day in their synagogues. And the rabbi would go over these stories of the Old Testament and try to give the meaning of them. Now, dear John, that faithful preacher, men whose consciences have been smitten because of their uncleanness. Oh, friend, can I say to you kindly, I look back to the time when I found out I was an unclean sinner before God. You know, the very first time that I ever had a real awareness of having to deal with God was when I was a boy at 5 years of age. You say, well, you must have been a bad rascal. No, I wasn't too bad. Just like any little boy. But that's not what I want to bring before you. God touched my conscience when I was a boy at 5 years of age. We had a preacher staying with us. He was an Italian man, and he used to go to the Italian district over the railway tracks from where we lived, and then he would come and stay with us, dear old Mr. Cardone. Don't know if you ever knew him out this way, but he's gone home to heaven now. But he was sitting on our front porch in a rocker, and my father had been fixing the gutters in the house. You know, they have these long nails, they're about 10 inches long, or so, those long spikes, and there was one lying there on the porch. So he asked me to get it for him, which I did. I liked preachers. I thought they were great boys. Kind of changed my mind maybe a little sometimes when I have to do it myself, but I thought he was the greatest man. Enjoyed him very much. And he took that long spike and he asked me for my hand and he pressed it into the palm of my hand. And he pressed, I mean, till it hurt. My little hand got just a little wee handy when I was trying to get away from him, but boy, he had a hold of it and he was pressing tight. And he said, did that hurt you? Yes. He did it again. And I thought sure he was going in. And I mean it. He really made me feel it. And then he told me, Jimmy, the reason the Lord Jesus had to endure nails right through his hands on Calvary's cross is because of your sin. And never left. And I've written in the fly leaf of my Bible, I'm solemnized by it, but I rejoice at it. This man's sins, crucified the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Ah, my friend in the meeting, let me note with you the three pictures that dear John the Baptist was bringing before these people smitten in their conscience. What shall we do? What do we do? Turn over a new leaf? They said. What should we do next? There was three classes of people that came to John, and they all said the same thing. What do we do? Oh, I wonder, is there one here tonight, and you've come to that frustration? I want salvation, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get it. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. The first picture that dear John the Baptist is bringing before these people is from the first book in their Bible. Takes them right back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 22. God will provide himself a lamb. You recall dear Isaac going up the mountain with his father Abraham, and Isaac is going to be laid upon that altar. And his hands are tied at his feet. And he's laid upon that altar. That's amazing. And as he lies there, God provided a substitute for him. A ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And as Abraham turned and looked behind, he saw the ram, and he took it and offered it in the stead of his son. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. My friend, that picture is a picture of the Lord Jesus. That's what God wants to occupy sinners with. They don't know what to do. How can I get peace? Look back to Calvary. The Lord Jesus on the cross is the Lamb of God's providing, a substitute for condemned sinners. I wonder tonight, is the reality, friend, of salvation seem to be behind a veil for you? And you try to reach for it, but you can't get to it. And you try to get a hold of something, but you don't know where to look for it. Then, friend, look back to the cross. Look back to Calvary, to the Lord Jesus. He's God's provision for condemned sinners. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Oh, I wish indeed with all my heart that I lived more for my Savior. When I think that there at Calvary, He bore a crown of thorns for me upon that sacred brow. He allowed His precious cheek to be smitten with a rod and the beard torn from His face just for me to take my place. He allowed men to take the robe, the awful rod of Rome, and bring it down upon His back until His back laid open like a field freshly plowed. All for me. Marvelous. He stood quietly while men dared to spit in His holy, sacred face. All because He loved me. He did it for me. John says so. So does the Bible. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. He allowed men to take His holy hands and pinion them to a cross of wood with nails through the palm of His hands and through His feet. All for me. Ah, friend, tonight look back to Calvary. I trust that you'll be able to say, as you look upon the Lamb of God's providing, a substitute for condemned sinners, it was for me. Yes, all for me. How do I know it was for me? Because He says so. The book says so. Christ died for the ungodly. Behold the Lamb of God, all sin-smitten heart tonight, bowed with the consciousness of your unpreparedness for heaven, your danger of the eternal fire. Look back to Calvary. God has provided a substitute for guilty, condemned men. You need not perish, for Christ has died. The awful condemnation of sin is death, and on Calvary the Lord Jesus entered into it, that He might break its power, as you've been hearing so ably tonight, resurrected from amongst the dead. For what purpose? To tell the world the sin question has been settled. Christ lives triumphantly because of His finished work at Calvary. But a second picture that these dear people would have in mind is found in the next book, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 12. In the 12th chapter of Exodus is the very first Passover in Israel. And God would be the one who would pass over them and become their Savior. And the way that they would distinguish between those who believed God and those who did not believe God was by blood on the door. A little lamb was taken, kept up to the 14th day, examined daily. I wish that you would examine the lamb tonight. He's beautiful. The Lamb of God's provider. There's no spot in him. There's no reason that you or God could ever say, He's incapable of saving me. He's unacceptable in His person. There's no spot in Him. Friend, look at Him tonight. Behold, the Lamb of God. God provided a lamb for Isaac, a substitute for his salvation. Now God provides a lamb to shed His blood, that there might be a shelter for sinners that are under the condemnation of death. Oh, the awfulness of Egypt in that night when the destroying angel went through. My friend, oh, may God touch hearts. God touch my heart first of all. What a solemn moment it will be when the door is closed by the same hand that was pierced at Calvary, the door of opportunity for salvation for you. All the wailings of men and women who failed to believe God that they needed the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, the only shelter. You could pin anything else outside that door you wanted to. You could have pinned the Ten Commandments on that door. If you wanted to, they didn't have them yet, but you could do it today if you want to try. You can even pin a prayer up there. My dear friend, you can even put up there how much money is sent to the missionaries or the day you were baptized. But it would never keep the sword away. It takes the blood of the Lamb. And friend, that's why dear John is speaking to these dear people. They had the scriptures on their forehead. That would not save them from the sword of wrath that is coming. There were men that stood on the street corners and said their prayers, but that would never stop the sword from taking their life and taking them into the pit of destruction. Man is born a sinner. He needs the salvation of the precious blood of the Lamb. And my friend, the safest place in our world tonight is for sinners to take shelter under the blood of Christ. Oh, that this night you would come, just as you are. Behold, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. What will you do with the precious blood of Christ tonight? Will you take God at His word? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, I love that verse. I think of various individuals I've had the joy of pointing them to that verse, and for the first time in their life, they saw the true meaning of Calvary, the precious shed blood of Christ. He shed it out of love for a sinner like me to pay the mighty price for my salvation. That's the shelter, that's where to flee from judgment that is coming. Flee to the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. The last picture is found in the next book in the Bible, the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Here John the Baptist has their eye looking back. He reminds them of a substitute, the Lamb of God, the man of Calvary. Our friend, look upon him. Listen to the sighs of his grief. Listen to the prayer of his heart. Father, forgive them. I love those words. It reveals the heart of the man that suffered for me. The reason he went to the cross was in order that I might be forgiven. Wonderful Savior. Ah, friend, you don't know what you're missing. You really have no peace if you have no Christ. You have absolutely no shelter if you have no substitute. A substitute who could give his life, satisfying God and sheltering your soul. Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Leviticus 16 was an august day in the experience of Israel every year. They came up to Jerusalem. There was one solemn issue that they had to face. It was to be a festival. There was going to be rejoicing. They would go home happy. But they came up to Israel, up to Jerusalem with very solemnized hearts. It was the Day of Atonement, the day when their sins were going to be brought to remembrance. And the priest would take his hand and he would lay it upon the head of a little goat, a little lamb. And he would confess the uncleannesses of the people upon the head of that little goat. And a man would put a cord about its neck, take it away down through the streets where the people lived, past all the tent doors. Over 3 million people. He didn't do that in 10 minutes. The people would see him go. As they would go by their door, you know what they'd be able to say? Bearing away my sin. Taking it away. No wonder it was a festival. They could see that their sins were borne by a substitute. And he bore it away. Then that's heaven satisfied. That's eternal life for you tonight. The very fact that the Lord Jesus at Calvary, He became accountable for my sin. Oh, the marvel of it, dear Paul the Apostle. He got a hold of that precious truth. And mind you, he was a teacher of Leviticus chapter 16. He taught the people many times about that little scapegoat, that little lamb that would bear away the uncleannesses of the people, away into a field where no one lived. We're not told how it died. That's not what you're going to look at here. What you're going to see is one bearing it away. Taking it away. Friend, look back to Calvary. Listen to the language of dear Peter. As he takes up his pen, he saw that beautiful truth. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Behold the Lamb of God. He answers the sin question. My friend, how will you ever get rid of your sin? Look back to Calvary. I love to quote Isaiah 44 and 22 to an audience like this. If only there was one searching heart here tonight, or more than one. Listen to the language of God, friend. As he looks at Calvary, looks back to the cross, he tells the people, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The sin question settled by the Lamb of God. A promise fulfilled, a problem solved, and a personal responsibility. The promise fulfilled, fulfilling all the pictures of the Old Testament. Completed, the substitute for the condemned. Oh, what, my friend, I do not know why you do not rejoice in Christ tonight. He took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in his stead. For man, oh, the miracle of grace. For man, the Savior bled, the Passover lamb. Listen to the language of God. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God becomes my protector, my Savior, because of the precious blood of Christ. Look to the Lamb of God tonight and see, friend, the shelter for a sinner has been obtained. It's offered to you tonight. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Take him at his word. He always keeps his word. You turn to him as you are. Your sins will be forever forgiven. Never brought up against you anymore. My, I love that, you know. God never thinks of my sins. Isn't that something? He never brings them to memory. And he never holds them against me. Marvelous thing to be saved. Would to God that you could see tonight the reality of the Lord Jesus fulfilling all that you need. And when John said that to two men standing by him, behold the Lamb of God. They said, John, we're going after him. And they followed him. I trust as you leave this building tonight, you'll be able to say, Christ is mine. God says so. The Lamb of God at Calvary suffered in my place. Friend, that answers every claim against your soul. That is the great refuge for you tonight. Behold, stop and look at him. Quit looking at yourself. Don't look to a preacher. Look back to Calvary. Behold, the Lamb of God's providing, which beareth away the sin of the world. Our God in heaven, from our hearts we wish indeed that we had ability to thank thee for such a great gift as thy beloved Son. We thank thee for thy holy word that would regulate our thinking and bring us into alignment with thine. And oh, we trust there are hearts tonight who have let go of their own ideas and accepted what God says about themselves and about what they deserve and about the finished work of Calvary that settles the question of sin forever. What a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thy blessing upon thy word that some may rejoice in him tonight as their Savior too. We ask in his most precious name, amen. Let us sing together number 63. Hymn number 63. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I remember a dear Scots lady one time when we were having meetings, and she'd been raised with the gospel, and she I won't tell you how old she was, ladies don't like that, you know, but the dear soul, she wasn't young. But one night after the gospel meeting when this hymn was being sung, she went out the door, she said to me, First time in my life, she says, I could see it's just as I am, but he wants me to come. And I came tonight, she says, I came, he's mine. Ah, may it be your experience tonight, dear sinner friend, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. We will sing together the first verse, and verse 2, and verse 5 of number 63. Remember the meetings that have been announced in the will of the Lord.